Good boy.
I'm not quite sure if he was telling or not.
Yes, I can hear quite well.
My name is Brooke.
Brooke?
Oh, yes. Lucas Brooke.
Oh, I love you.
Yes.
Yes?
This is rather an experience for me, but as far as I... Well,
we can hear you quite well.
Just a moment. I've been here quite a number of years now.
Yes.
I say so, I'm afraid I'm making an awful mess of this.
Thank you, Doctor.
Of course, I suggested to me it might be interesting if I could make a contact. I really, in a sense, don't quite know what I can do or in what way I can possibly be of service. I feel rather a novice than this.
Well, can I tell you? Something might help you. We'd like you to know how you passed over, how you found yourself. We'd like to know if you describe your particular claim and what kind of work you're going on, would you? That helps you at all.
Well, yes, it does, in a kind of way. I find it extremely difficult, as a matter of fact, when I'm trying to speak in this fashion, to think further. I think that possibly is something which applies to most people. As far as I can gather, it does. I was told it would be very difficult to think clearly. I should imagine once one has become rather used to it, that is, sort of tuning in, as it were, to your vibration and sort of becoming more expert at sort of speaking, one can then sort of think more clearly and sort of bring one's mind to bear on things which are of importance. But quite frankly, I feel rather at sea. I sort of feel as if I'm not in one world or the other. I'm conscious of speaking to you and I'm conscious of your reciprocating and speaking back, and I can sense and also sometimes hear. It's very confusing. In fact, it's almost impossible to know whether I'm hearing what you say or whether I'm sort of in a kind of way conscious of your thoughts. Actually, I find this the most peculiar. I'm sorry, I'm overbind. I'm not much good at it, am I? Since I've been here, that is, I've made a point of working to a great extent, especially during the war years, helping fellows over who passed during the recent war. And it's been my job to act in capacity of, I suppose you call it, a rescue squad or team. As a matter of fact, I've learned a great deal from fellows who've come over in recent years through the war. In fact, I was working so closely in combination with others who themselves have passed over during the recent war that I've become almost, as it were, one of them, in as much that I think, at least when I've been down onto the earth plane to help these people, I think on their level. I've even got in the habit of using terminology which was quite foreign to me in my day. I mean, for instance, words which I didn't even really use first. I realize now common language. In fact, I find there are many new words in the language which, in this language which never existed in my day. I wonder what I might have done with a vocabulary such as the English seems to have adopted since my passing, what I might have done with it in the web verse and so on. So I'm all from this.
That's very interesting.
Now, come on. Can you tell us how you passed it?
I came over during the First World War.
Yes.
So very sudden. I don't remember very much about it, except that I suddenly found myself in a kind of... Well, I don't even know how to describe it. It seemed as if I was in a body which no longer seemed at first to be the same, and yet in appearance it was the same I've been, but I just couldn't understand it. I just didn't realize that I'd died. Everything seemed, in a sense, quite natural, and yet the body I was using seemed to be foreign to me, inasmuch as I didn't feel it had any weight, which worried me for quite a bit. When you've been used to a body that had weight, substance, to find yourself in a body that seemed to have no weight, and in a sense no substance anywhere. It seemed to be most strange. There was a terrible lightness about myself which worried and puzzled me very much at first. In fact, I think it worried me too much. I realized now dearly shouldn't have, perhaps because I was too sensitive, perhaps, I don't know, but this awful feeling of true lightness. And yet, if I touch myself, I was solid, and yet, if I pinch myself, I didn't feel it. Why did we tell me? In fact, one of the first things I did, I think, if I remember rightly, was when I became conscious of the fact that I was no longer on your side, and yet I had a body which, in certain respects, was identical in appearance, that is, to the old body, and I thought, well, am I not alive in the same sense as I knew myself to be alive and on earth? I pinch myself and I started to find that I didn't feel anything. It worried me terribly. I thought, well, this body of mine, this peculiar thing, which is a body and to all outward appearances, doesn't seem to respond in quite the same way. And I thought to myself, well, why should it? It obviously isn't the same old body. It's a different body. It must be composed of different substances. And yet I was still, as it were, on the earth, that is, conscious of the earth. And then, of course, I had one or two shocks when I realized people didn't see me. And I thought, well, if I can't feel myself when I pinch myself, why should a person see me who's obviously still on earth in the old body? And I began to realize there was a vast difference between the bodies in consequence. And I thought, well, it must be that I'm on some vibrational rate or something which is not common to the earth, and therefore people can't see me. What annoyed and irritated me so terribly was that I can see other people and they couldn't see me, who seemed so strange. And I remember vividly sitting beside a river and looking at myself and not seeing myself. That worried me terribly. When I refer to an earthly river, that is, a river that I'd been very fond of in my youth. Mm. I remember sitting looking into this river and I could see no reflection. And I thought, well, that seems as extraordinary. I haven't bought it, it has no reflection. I'm afraid I was an awful mess mentally. I couldn't adjust myself at all. Here was I going round to various people that I'd known, trying to tell them that I was alive and well and not to worry about me. And they just didn't realize I was there. And when I realized that I couldn't be seen even in the water, in the river, I realized then that the reason they couldn't see me was because if my body didn't have a reflection, then it couldn't be solid to them. It couldn't be on the same vibration. It couldn't be the same sort of matter. It obviously was different. And I had to adjust myself to the fact that I had a body that was, to all outward appearances, the same. And yet, obviously, was not a real body from the point of view of earth. Therefore, I was in a body, I suppose one would term, spiritual body. And yet, I thought, well, I'm not particularly spiritual. I was so puzzled, so bewildered. Here was I clinging to the earth, as it were, in my thoughts and my memories of things past and trying to catch up with things too. In fact, I was trying to do so many different things at the same time and do nothing well. The most irritating, most puzzling. I remember when I was sitting beside this river, getting more and more puzzled and not a little frightened, as a matter of fact, wondering what the next step was going to be. But all of a sudden, I was conscious of someone standing beside me. And I looked, and yet I could see no one, yet I knew there was someone there. I thought, well, this is ridiculous. And I looked into the river, and there was no reflection. And I just didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, it was just as if I distinctly, as I did, I realized now I heard the voice say, come with me. And I thought, well, how the deuce could I go with someone, and I can't see them, they don't know where they're going, they don't know who they are. And three times this voice said, come with me, close your eyes. And I thought, well, nothing made it, nothing won, I can't do much else, just close my eyes. And the next thing I knew was that I was in an entirely different place, what appeared to be a vast building. Not unlike, I suppose, an appearance to a concert hall, inasmuch as there were seats, many, many seats, and many, many people were gathered there. And I was sitting in this place, and I could hear beautiful music, absolutely wonderful sound. I can't even depict it or describe it in any way. And it seemed to, I don't know, vibrate in such a way that it seemed to carry me beyond time and space. It seemed to have a message which I interpreted as being one of peace and gratitude and rest, not to be unduly worried or concerned. In other words, I seemed to get from this place, this music, a wonderful feeling of being at peace, and in consequence I felt very different and much more calm, and gradually I began to perceive in the far distance what appeared to be an enormous panorama of changing light. I think I can describe it as all kinds of colors, but they were constantly changing from the palest shades into deep hues, and gradually the whole room, the whole building seemed to be suffused with this, and I was wondering how this was achieved, because it wasn't as if I was seeing something thrown onto a cinematograph screen or something. It was that the whole of the building gradually seemed to be illumined and changed with this color. And although I could see everyone around me, I didn't seem somehow, although I felt one with them, I didn't seem as if I could speak. In fact, I was so disturbed, had been so disturbed in my mind previously about my body as to what function it had, and if it was really like the Earth body, which it seemed in a sense so, but I wasn't sure about it. I didn't really know how to go about things, I suppose, then, but I wanted to speak to someone, and yet I was afraid almost to try to enunciate words. And anyway, I became very conscious of someone near me saying, "You can do it, don't worry, you can do it, don't worry." And I heard myself saying, "What is this place? What is this place?" And I heard in return the voice say, "This is a place where you can be brought into new being. Here the vibrations will make possible for you a new way of life. This is a cleansing station." I couldn't understand what they meant by cleansing station. It sounds a most odd term. This seemed far from anything that one could imagine a cleansing station, if one could imagine what a cleansing station should be like. This seemed to me like some vast auditorium, like an Albert Hall, for instance, only much vaster, much more beautiful, of course, where there was glorious sound, music going on, and illumination, and people. Then I suddenly realized that there was a change coming over me. I'd been almost conscious of it from the beginning, and the people around and about me, I could feel that they too were changing in some subtle way, and yet I couldn't explain it. Even now I don't really know how to explain it. But it suddenly seemed as if my whole body was becoming suffused with some charged power, some vitality, and everything seemed to become very much more solidified. I think if I can put it, it rather sounds silly, but it did seem so to me that everything around and about me, which of course had been to all outward appearances very real, that is, I could see people, I could see things, I could see the vastness of the building and the beauty of it and the colour and everything, but somehow previously it had all seemed so unreal, too wonderful to be true. I couldn't understand it, and yet I appreciated it and had a wonderful piece of effect upon me. Gradually it seemed to become much more real, much more intense. People seemed to, where they had been sitting very calm and very still, they seemed now to be become a little animated. In other words, they began to move a little, and one became conscious of something happening within oneself and within the people around and about one. And after a very short time, so it seemed to me, one or two people began to move, get up, and to walk about, and to begin to, what appeared to be, speak. At least their mouths opened and closed, without going to hear my position from them. And yet I was conscious of the fact that they were trying to convey their thoughts in an audible manner. And it seemed to me that these various peoples were beginning to become a vibe. I don't want to suggest that in the beginning they looked as if they were dead people. They weren't exactly that at all. But I realize now that we were all completely unused to these bodies. Obviously, we had recently passed, and we'd been brought to this place, and we were beginning, as it were, to be shown how to experience the new life. We were being prepared, we were being, as it were, initiated, if you like. And then there were, after this, when the place seemed to become more vital, more alive, that is, from the point of view of people moving and walking by it and so on, I saw, and I suppose others must have seen too, what appeared to be figures, people who had not previously been there, by the way, or at least had not been apparent. They seemed to become visible from all different places. Some were men, some were female, and some of the women went over to other women sitting in the auditorium, some of the men went to some of the men. Most of these beings seemed to be very beautiful. I don't remember seeing one that hadn't got a very beautiful expression on his face. They were not necessarily always strictly handsome, that is, from the point of view of features and so on, but their faces seemed to be illuminated and had great animation, great charm, great dignity too. And I realized, of course, much later afterwards, that these were the people whose job it was to conduct these sort of initiation services, if you like to put it like that, and to help people who, when they came over, had need for this gradual rehabilitation into a new life, and who possibly, it seems to me now, had no particular relation or friend over there to meet them. Although often I understand there were many relations of friends who gathered there, waited for this sort of service to finish, and then they made themselves known. But it seems to me that the shock of sudden death means that many people need gradually revitalizing in the spiritual sense. They need, as it were, to be cleansed, I suppose is a way to put it, of their own ideas and thoughts. They need to readjust their thinking. And this is a method that is used in certain cases for certain peoples. It isn't used for everyone, even then. I found that out afterwards. But anyway, it was an extraordinary experience, and one which I shall never forget, because it was a very beautiful, very wonderful experience, and it certainly helped me tremendously. Anyway, after all this, after I had spoken to several people whose task it was evidently to help one another, I was taken to what appeared to be a park, although I realize it isn't a park exactly now, but it appeared to me then as a park. In this park I saw many people, many types of costume, and I realized that this place was the outside of this building. And after this initiation service, of course, what you will, we gathered outside of this beautiful park and stood around, and one felt then that one's body was a reality. I think I can describe it. I realized that my body was then functioning in harmony with my thoughts. In other words, it was a reality to me, and I could move about, I could walk about, I could run, I could even swim, which I did. And I remember sitting under a tree and talking to this one particular person who I found out later was my own particular helper. And he explained to me that all that had transpired was very essential, because owing to the conditions of my passing in particular, and my particular nature, and my particular outlook, it had been essential to cast from myself completely all material physical thought appertaining to the war and the terrible condition under which I had been existing. In other words, I had to see the brightness and the beauty and the realization of greater things yet to come. I had to completely, as it were, free myself from old thinking, old ideas, and this had helped me tremendously. And I asked, particularly if it were possible here, to for instance, continue writing
and so on. And he said, oh yes, of course you can do that if you wish, and you can if you want to do other things. I mean, if you want to, for instance, if you want to become a painter, a musician, there's nothing to stop you. In fact, you can do exactly what you feel inclined to do. In fact, it's the only way one can progress on this side is to go forward in the manner which you yourself have made possible by your thinking and your action. And in consequence, I realized that I could, if I wanted, do many things, which I have done, of course. But I felt if only I could depict some of these experiences in such a way that I could send them back to Earth, it would be such an interesting thing, it would be such a great help. And I asked if it were possible, and they said, well, it would be possible, but wouldn't be possible for some considerable time, for various reasons. One thing, I was still an initiate, I was still new, finding everything very strange. I wouldn't be able to adjust myself so quickly and so easily to be able to do a thing like that. And then, of course, the most obvious thing would be the difference in finding someone who could act as an instrument. I didn't even realize then that you had to have a medium. Although I'd had this unpleasant experience when I first left Earth and trying to contact people and them not seeing me, I thought somehow there must be a way. I'd vaguely heard of spiritualism on Earth, and I never had much interest in it. In fact, I had no interest really. I thought it was probably a lot of nonsense, but I suddenly wanted to tell the world, the Earth world, all this. I wanted to know of it, but didn't know how to go about it. And I was so keen, so anxious, even then, in those early stages, to do something. And this man smiled and said, well, of course, most people, when they first come here, are like that. They want to rush back to their friends and their relations. They want to tell everyone in the world how wonderful it all is, and passing from your world to this is the most natural process. And there's no need for all the terrible fear that people have in their being about dying. In fact, everything is so orderly, really. It's just that the confusion that man brings with him that creates the difficulty. If man had a clear picture of things before he died, there wouldn't be the confusion that people have, such as you had, for instance, when you held, as it were, close to the earth, he told me, when you found people didn't realize you were there, and you looked into the water, you couldn't see your reflection. All these things are really due to the state of man's mind on passing. They're old ideas, old thoughts, which haunt him, which make him full of fear. Whereas man should be free, and man should realize these things, that this is natural law, that God has created man in his own image, and in consequence is indestructible. Only the material, the physical aspect of life is destructible in itself, but you, the real spirit of man, goes on. Of course, everyone feels like you feel. You want to rush back and tell the world, but you must remember the old world has been going on for centuries and centuries, living in ignorance, building up all kinds of barriers, making all sorts of weird religions and superstitions, and in consequence making it impossible to have knowledge and experience, whereas they could have it if they had their minds clearly set on things of spirit and did not debase everything in the material sense. Even the highest, noblest thoughts, man oftentimes debases. All this, of course, I realized very well, but I just didn't know how one could go about it. And he said, well, don't worry about it. Time will pass, and the time may come when you can go back, and you can do some service. But I felt terribly eager, but I had to realize that I had much to learn, and the time was not yet right for me to go back. And here I am now, after, oh, I don't know, nearly 40 years, I suppose, talking to you. It all seems so strange, and yet so wonderful. I'm afraid I haven't really said very much.
Yes. What sort of clothes do you wear this night?
Well, I find that the clothes I like best, I don't speak for myself, I like, I suppose the most I can describe it, is something like the ancient Greeks wore. It's very, very comfortable, very attractive to look at, and the materials are very beautiful.
Very colourful?
Oh, very. Of course, they're again, it's a matter of not altogether yourself. I mean, one likes to feel that one wears the things one would like to wear, which is true in essence, but the point is that there are certain colours, for instance, that you couldn't possibly wear unless you yourself, by your very nature and your very soul, as it were, made possible. Because we are often known in temperament and character by the colouring of our apparel. Not only, you see, the point is that we know each other by the illumination of the light around and about us. But for instance, if certain colours were in your aura, there may be other colours that you couldn't wear in your dress or in your appearance, in your wearing apparel. You see, the whole point is that certain things just couldn't be. I mean, if, for instance, you hadn't progressed very far, you wouldn't be able to wear a very soft, clear blue, for instance, because it wouldn't be in your makeup and nature. You wouldn't have made it possible for yourself to have that colour in your auric emanation, and in consequence, you wouldn't wear it in your wearing apparel. For one thing, you wouldn't be attracted to it because you weren't ready for it, shall we say. And secondly, it just wouldn't be possible. I don't know how to explain why it wouldn't be possible. It wouldn't. The whole thing is that somehow, automatically almost, you are what you are.
Yes.
And you cannot be beyond that, or less than that in a sense. I mean, you see, we all go forward. We all strive in some shape or form and develop accordingly. And in consequence, we are automatically as we are by our very endeavor. And it would be most unnatural for one to assume over here a facade which you yourself would know within yourself, would deceive no one. In other words, whereas on earth a man may build up a facade, may build up something about himself which gives a wrong impression to others, people may say, oh, so-and-so is an awfully nice person, but actually the person underneath may be a ghastly person. That sort of thing you can do on your side. You come to here, it's one of the first things you realize, as a matter of fact, is quite a shock, I can assure you.
Mm-hmm.
Here there's no deceit of any description. Here you are known for what you are. And I'm sorry.
Well,
very
wonderful
if they
were to talk to us
like this.
Well, perhaps it'll make you very happy to know that tonight, your voice, what you've been telling us, will be heard by quite a number of us.
Well, it's very kind of you. I am very happy to know that. I only wish to goodness now that you've told me that, I'd have said something much more valuable, because I do realize that there's so much that one can say or should say. Of course, this is my first sort of attempt at making direct contact in this fashion, and in consequence, I do find it extremely difficult, really. But no doubt, if I can and may come back later, I'd do much better.
I would like to ask you one thing. When you were writing your verse when you were on the earth plane, did you think you were impressed? And have you since met anybody who did impress you in your verse?
Oh, yes, my goodness.
You
yes.
have. Who did that?
I realize now that when I was on earth, I was really, in a sense, an instrument or a medium. That does not mean to say that I had not my own ability, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I should hate to, I think anyone would hate to feel that they're just an automatic machine churning out stuff from other people. I did have my own ability naturally, but I realized that I did draw our attack to myself, and that some of them were my actual helpers and guides from this side of life. Byron and Shelley and Keats, my greatest friends. But I must come again sometime and talk to you. I must go, I'm told, the power wanes, but it's been wonderful, and I do hope I haven't been,
well, thank you.
Boy.
Very lovely.
Anyway, you. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Mickey.
Thank you, Mickey.